I did say to Stuart, how'd you follow that? Because you know God's been speaking. And I want to thank you, Tola, for coming to share and really doing what God wanted you to do. And I do hope that it'll be a start of a lot more stories, a lot more witnessing of the goodness of God. I don't know how you feel this morning, whether you feel emotional, because I do. It's emotional stuff, isn't it? And maybe today you felt reassured because you've heard that God is able to do amazing things. Or maybe today you just feel kind of burdened and sad where you are this morning. And I hope to bring some words of encouragement, because the subject today is about having an enduring heart. And it's based around some verses we find in the book of Hebrews. If you want to turn to it, it's Hebrews chapter 12. But it talks about being in a race. And I was trying to think to myself, when was the last time I was in a race? As you can see, I'm not built for speed. But it just took me back to when I was 18. Was the last time I was in a race, a proper race, and it was at school. It was cross country, and it was at Bournemouth School, and we was 120 boys in our year. We were the first year of A levels, and everybody had to take part, unless you had a sick note from your doctor. And never done any training or anything like that. And out of 120, I came 16th. And that's why I remember it, because I was very proud of myself. As you can see, not built for speed, short legs, but I did. I plodded through and came 16th, waded through the mud, and I thought, that's good. The other thing I hoped for was in later in life that I might get to race in a Father's Day race. But they never had them at the school my kids went to. I was very disappointed by that, because I thought, actually, I'm quite quick for a little fella. So that was the last race I was in. But when we read the New Testament, what you see time and time again is that Paul says we are in a race. It's found in the book of Corinthians. It's found in Galatians. It's found in Philippians. And all the time, Paul talking about, as a Christian, you are in a race. And so that took me to the verses we find in Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read them to you. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And it says this. It's probably going to be on the screen. Yep. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. And so it's the writer to the Hebrews. He writes about this race. And actually the word race is the word, let's put my glasses back on, make sure I get it right. It's the word agona or agona, which is the word we get agony from, okay? So it's obviously not a sprint. It's the marathon, it's the long haul, it's the 26.2 miles. And actually, the truth is that being a Christian means we're in a race, and it is not going to be easy. Jesus told his disciples that he'd overcome the world, but actually in the world we will have trouble. So you won't have an easy walk as a Christian. And I think to myself, do you know, over the years, I've worked with so many people. We found an old DVD of some of the videos that we shot back in 2000, okay? Some people remember the year 2000, some people weren't even born. But the year 2000, we ran a youth camp down in Lockerley. It was called Extra Camp 2000. And we had all these kids, and we had some video of the worship night, the last worship night, which was absolutely amazing. We had people standing on chairs, worshipping God as only young people can. And it was an amazing experience. God was in the house. And I think to myself, you know, as we watched it, I think we watched it on Saturday, I thought to myself, well, how many of those young people now are going on with God? How many of them have dropped out of the race? How many have given up their faith and don't follow God anymore? And then I think about the life of the church. We think back of the, it's going to be hundreds of people who've come here. Maybe even thousands over the years. How many of those people are still running their race, their marathon? And I just want to encourage you today. Maybe today you feel like, do you know what, I just want to give this up. It's not working. God's not delivering what he said and what he's promised. Or God seems to have disappeared and I don't seem to have a connection with him. I've lost my joy. Life is a disaster and so on and so on. And maybe today you feel like giving up. And I want to encourage you today from the words that we find in the book of Hebrews. Because what was going on in the church that the writer of the Hebrews wrote to, they were really, really struggling. They were suffering for their faith. And I just want to read some verses we find in Hebrews 10. It says this: remember those early days after you received the light, when you endured in a great conflict of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison, and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you know that yourselves had better and lasting possessions. And so the book of Hebrews is written to a load of people who are really, really having a tough time. Many of them who perhaps felt like, I need to give up. And what the writer of the Hebrews says is, don't give up. And in chapter 11, if you know the book of Hebrews, he gives a whole list of people who, by faith, did what God wanted. And I can give you a list. There was Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, parents, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jethro, David, Samuel, and so on and so on and so on. And he gave a whole list of people who by faith achieved what God wanted them to achieve. And he's saying to the people, these are the people you need to look at because they came through. Now, it says in the verses we read, it says, you've been surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. And some people think that up in heaven, there are little windows that people look out of, and they look down and they go, oh, look, there's Will. Oh, he's having a tough time, isn't he? Oh, there's Stuart. Yeah, he's working with Will. He's having a really tough time too. But you see, it's not like that. These aren't the people, your parents, your grandparents, your family are not up in heaven looking down, watching you. They are not the crowd of witnesses. Because if you're in heaven, you're in the presence of God. Yeah. And to look down on earth would probably be quite upsetting. Yeah. Especially for those who love those who are on earth. Yeah. And so the crowd of witnesses that Paul, the Hebrew writer, is talking about are the people of faith. The people who have been through the list of people we've just been given in chapter 11. He says these are the witnesses. These are the people who've gone before. These are the people who've done it. They are witnesses to the goodness of God and what it means to have faith. And so the writer says, actually, what you need to do is you are surrounded by these people. There are three things you need to do. I'm going to do these quickly. The first thing you need to do is you need to be free. You need to be free. Because what it says we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. The life of faith. Let us strip off every weight. Every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And if you're struggling in your faith today. If you are thinking, I feel like giving up. There are three things I would say this passage tells us. The first thing is we need to be free. We need to be free of the things that are holding us back. Yeah. And the sin that is stopping us going forward with God. What kind of things was the writer talking about? Probably about the things that these Jewish Christians wanted to go back and do. The things they knew were the things of the Jewish faith, the sacrifices and going to synagogue. And so those are the things they knew. And in a sense, they thought, well, these things please God, therefore we're going to do them. But you see, they're also the things that were holding them back, because they weren't living by faith, they were living by works. And I don't know what holds you back spiritually. Maybe today God's going to put his finger on something and say, this is what you need to push aside. This is the thing you need to get rid of. And it may be some kind of relationship that you're in that isn't very healthy. It may be the way you spend your time. It may be the things you watch. It may be the way you spend your money. And God's saying, no, this is not helping you grow spiritually. Yeah. No. If you are struggling to endure, maybe there are things that are hindering your faith. Yeah. And God is saying, that's enough. If you go on doing this, you will not grow. You will not flourish as a Christian. Mm. The other thing that he talks about is sin. Because sin ruins our lives. Yeah. The things that we do that offend God. Mm. Disbelief is one of those things. Going our own way. It's interesting, I was thinking about Jesus, how Jesus was tempted. The Son of God went into the desert. Yeah. And the devil turns up and face to face he tempts him. Yeah. Because he wants him to sin, because that will destroy all that he's come to do. But that will also wreck his relationship with God. Yeah. And if we're doing sinful things and we know about it, and maybe God today is putting his finger on you saying, that is sinful, you need to stop. But those are the things that will hinder our faith. Those are the things will stop us enduring. Yeah. Because it's the picture of the race, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, in the days of the first Olympic Games, the Greeks, they would run. They would run with just a loincloth, or they would run naked, because that's the best way to be fast. You wouldn't, I'm just trying to think today. If you entered a race and you wanted to win, you wouldn't put on your overcoat and your jeans and your shoes, would you? You would get ready. You'd put on your lycra. What a sight that is. You'd put your lycra on and you would run that race. And so the writer of the Hebrews is saying, you know, if you're putting all the stuff on, there's no chance of you winning.
Yeah.
You need to put stuff away. You need to put the stuff aside. You need to stop doing things. And that's how you can run effectively.
Yeah.
So maybe today God is saying to you, actually, this is the thing. This is the thing that will stop you enduring and running the race before you. So the second thing we need to do is we need to run faithfully. It says, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set us before us. It's interesting what Tola said, wasn't it? She got to the point where she said, it's enough. I can't do this anymore. And I'm sure the Hebrew church was just like that. There were people saying, you know, I just want to give up. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I cannot go on. And so the writer says, run with endurance.
Yeah.
Run when it's difficult. Run when it's painful. Run when you feel you're not actually getting very far.
Yeah.
Don't give up. And I was quite surprised when I came 16th out of 120. But I know there are points in that race where I just thought, I just want to walk. In fact, it'd be nice just to sit down, have a rest. I've never done a marathon. I never want to, because it sounds awful. How many people have run a marathon? Yes. Because you hit the wall, don't you, Simon? How many miles did you hit the wall? 18? How about 8?
Yeah, you feel like your body just wants to stop.
You feel like your body?
All up here.
Yeah. Thank you. It's all up here. And your body's saying, stop. Don't do this. And maybe that's where you are when it comes to your faith.
Wow. Yeah.
I encourage you, don't give up. Because there is so much at stake. There is so much at stake. And just listening to Tola, you realise when you get to that point, when you want to give up, what's at stake here? It's my faith, it's my life, but it's my family. It's my children. It's their future. So much is at stake. And I want to say to you, maybe today you feel like giving up. Well, don't. don't give up. I need to put my glasses on because the Greek word hupomone means steadfast endurance. It means to remain strong under pressure. And one of the commentators said, it is a determination, unhurrying and yet underlying, which goes steadily on and refuses to be deflected. Obstacles do not daunt it. Delays will not depress it. Discouragements will not take its hope away. It is the steadfast endurance which carries on until the end gets there. So, the word says, run with endurance. And maybe today it's a decision. I love what Simon just said. It's in the head, isn't it? And it's in the heart. And maybe today you need to say, God, no, I'm not going to give up, Lord. I'm not going to give up because you never give up on me. Amen. I just want to say, last one is all about focusing on Jesus. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And that's a beautiful thing, because what it says is really that Jesus is the one who gives us faith. He's the one that through faith in him, we can know God, we can live the Christian life. But also he is the example that we are to follow, because it was him who endured the cross. It is him, as we think about next week, who went to the cross. It says somewhere, I think it talks about scorning its shame. He went to the cross and died for us. And the Bible says that we are to fix our eyes on him. He is our example that we are to follow. Yeah. For the joy that lay before him. Amen. That's interesting. It's for the joy that lay before him. What does that actually mean? It means that Jesus looked beyond the cross, yeah. And he could see the result of his suffering, which would be you and me going to heaven. Amen. The salvation of the world was the thing that he looked to. And he said, that is going to give me such joy when I get there. Looking beyond. And maybe today what you need to do is you need to look beyond your circumstances and say, what is God doing? What does he want to do? How is he going to glorify himself through my life and what's happening at the moment? Yeah. I want to encourage you just to look to God, not to your circumstances. Because God is with you and God is not going to let you down. I want a short video I'm going to show you. Maybe you've seen this before. I found it as I watched it this morning. Very, very moving. Because it's about someone who ran a race and someone who could not do it on their own. Thank you. was Derek Redman and his dad. Maybe you've seen that before, but it's very moving, isn't it? The fact that he just said, no, we're going to do this together. I am going to walk with my son and we are going to finish the race. And maybe this morning you're in that place of not, you don't know how you're going to keep going. But God says, I am with you. You're my son and my daughter, and we will do this race together. Let's pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, I just want to pray now that you would come and you would minister to those who feel broken today, who are struggling in their race, struggling to go on. And I want to pray, Lord, that you would just bring, through your Spirit, you'd bring them comfort and strength. They would realize afresh that you are with them. You are walking and running beside them. And that through you they have the ability to endure and to finish. Yeah. Jesus today says, I am with you. And I will give you all that you need. Fix your eyes on me. I've been there. And will be there for you. Amen.